This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmuduhu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa nu'minu bihi tawakkal alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina may yahdihillahu fala mudilla wa may yudlilhu fala hadiya ma ba'd fa inna astaqal hadithi kitabullah wa khayru hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa sharrul umuri muhdatsatuha wa kullu muhdatsatin bid'ah wa kullu bid'atin dalalah wa kullu dalalatin finnar. One of those problems in our community that tends to alienate the youth is the manner in which we deal with our differences of opinion. It is the nature of our religion that we will always have differences of opinion, and that Muslims will never agree 100% on every single issue. And sometimes our differences tend to get heated. We tend to get very angry with each other. We tend to say things that we don't mean. It becomes a very emotional thing for us. And I myself am guilty of this. This is a reminder to myself as well as everybody else on how to deal with differences of opinion. So the two questions that I get the most from young Muslims on the issue of differences of opinion in the Ummah are, number one, why do they exist? It's a very logical question. We have one Quran, one true religion. Why are there so many understandings of this true religion? Right, this is a very important question that a lot of young people ask, and we don't often answer it as well as we can. So inshallah, in my first khutbah today, I'm going to try and answer this question, which is, why do differences of opinion exist amongst Muslims? The second question, which is the follow-up question, is, okay, they exist, so what do we do about it? Right? Differences of opinion exist in the Ummah. How do we deal with it? That's the second thing. So two questions. Why do differences of opinion exist? And number two, how do we deal with these differences of opinion? So to summarize it in a khutbah, we can't really go into the full details. Alhamdulillah, 2 years ago at the center, we did do a very detailed course on why differences of opinion exist. We went to all of the usulul fiqh and all of the different reasons, and that's available on YouTube to watch for anybody who wants details. But this is just a summary. If somebody had to ask you, especially a child, a teenager, someone who's just starting to explore Islamic knowledge, if they had to ask you, why are there so many different opinions? This is a simple way to answer that question. And I will answer this question based on three things, or rather 3 points to respond to this question with. Point number one, because that's how Allah willed it to be. That's point number one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for this to be a religion in which there are many madhabs, many different opinions, many different approaches. If Allah wanted, there would have been only one approach to fiqh. If Allah wanted, the correct opinion on every issue of fiqh would be clear in the Quran. The Quran would then have been like 30 or 40 volumes long and very difficult to read. And the religion would have been very difficult to practice. But it was not Allah's will for Islam to be like that. It is the will of Allah that we are an ummah of diversity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human race to be a very diverse race. We differ in our personalities. We differ in our likes and dislikes. We differ in you know, what type of food we enjoy. We differ in what we are good at and what career paths we take. And all of these differences, they play out even into our approach towards the religion. For example, some people are more inclined towards a literal understanding of things. Whether it's in their personal lives, whether it's in school, you know, they have a more literal approach to life. So naturally, those individuals will have a more literal approach to fiqh. Others like to get into, you know, the details of why and how. They want to understand things on a, you know, on a more contextual level. And so their approach of fiqh will reflect that. So in many ways, the differences that we see amongst the ummah when it comes to how we practice Islam are a reflection
of the diversity of Allah's creation. Allah made us a diverse nation. And He has made us a nation where everybody thinks differently. And those different ways of thinking are reflected within the scope of Sunni Islam, within the different methodologies that we have. And this goes all the way back to the Sahaba. Differences of opinion is not something new. You see, many young people, when they first start studying Islam, they have this idea that, you know, I'm going to resolve the differences of opinion. I'm going to find the strongest opinion and unite everybody behind it. But differences of opinion have existed from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have always been there, they will always be there, because people differ in how they read things, how they understand things, how they perceive things. This is just part of being a human being, that we will differ in these areas. So if you look at the Sahaba, simple example amongst the Sahaba, of how differences of opinion existed amongst them, and how it even got heated amongst them. Like, this is human nature. We are going to differ, and sometimes we'll get a bit heated about our differences. So in the time of Osman radiallahu anhu, when he was the Khalifa, the Muslim world began to experience great wealth. And a lot of the Sahaba became very wealthy. They began to live in fancy houses, they began to build up savings, they began to, you know, eat better food. And one of the Sahaba did not like this. This Sahabi's name was Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu. Now Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he had a different understanding of the fiqh of business from all of the other Sahaba. In his understanding, saving money was haram. What you earn today, you spend it today. Anything extra, you give it in charity. This was his understanding. Now, can you imagine if this became the mainstream understanding? Imagine living in the modern world with that being the understanding of fiqh. But Allah willed it that this was a minority. However, it became heated. Right, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu got into quite a few heated discussions with other Sahaba, particularly Usman radiallahu anhu, who was the Khalifa at the time, over this issue. And to resolve it, they came to a simple solution. Abu Dharr went to live on the outskirts of Medina, in a small town, perhaps, you know, far away from society, where he doesn't have to see the wealth, he doesn't have to interact with the wealthy people, and this is out of sight, out of mind. Meaning, he let them be, and they let him be. What do we learn from this? Number one, we learn that differences of opinion go all the way back to the Sahaba. They're not something new. Number two, it is normal and human for us to sometimes get heated about our differences. Someone says something, someone believes the opposite. It's human nature that sometimes you're going to get angry about it. You know, specifically nowadays, we're dealing with things like, should we social distance or not? Should we wear masks or not? It's something that, you know, it boils down to a matter of life and death. It's natural that people are going to get angry about it. But number three, look how they solved it. They solved it by not forcing the opinion of the majority on Abu Dharr, nor by Abu Dharr forcing his opinion on others. He simply lived away from them, practiced his understanding of Islam, and they practiced their understanding of Islam. He is radiallahu anhum, and they are radiallahu anhum. He is from those Allah is pleased with, they are from those Allah is pleased with. So we see differences of opinion are natural. They're going to happen. The Sahaba had them. The great scholars of Islam had them. They're not going away. What needs to change is how we deal with them. How we deal with each other. We are a nation that are diverse. And even more so in a country like South Africa. If you're living in a country like, for example, India, where everybody's of the same nationality and of the same race and the same culture, then the differences are not going to be as much. But guess what? They actually are a lot. But now you come to a country where you have different races. You have different cultures. You have people coming from different parts of the world. You have different cultures in different neighborhoods. You are going to have an even bigger variety of differences of opinion. So why do differences of opinion exist? We said reason number one, Allah has willed it that we be a race or a creation of diversity. And part of that diversity is in how we understand our religion. The second reason why differences of opinion exist is it comes down to a science called Usulul Fiqh. Usulul Fiqh means a methodology of fiqh. And in Islam, there's not one set methodology of fiqh. There are a variety of methodology of fiqh. And every scholar, in a way, has their own method of fiqh. Like, we have the broader methods, the Hanafi, the Maliki, the Shafi, the Hanbali, and in the past we had others as well, like the Jariri and the Zahiris and many others. and all of them are acceptable. But even within these methods, you have different methods. For example, within the Hanafi method to fiqh, you have the Turkish Hanafi method, which is very different from the Indian Hanafi method, which is very different from the Iraqi Hanafi method. Right? So even within the mazhab, there is diversity. And what are the differences between these methods? Again, if somebody wants details, we did cover this in details 2 years ago, and it's up on our YouTube channel. But just to keep it on the basic level, because the point of this khutbah is, how would you answer this if a teenager or a young person asks you why there are differences of opinion? So this is how you would answer it. You will tell them that there are different approaches to fiqh. And all of these approaches are acceptable because they all come from the perspective of sincerely wanting to follow the Quran and Sunnah. That's where they come from. From sincerely wanting to follow the Quran and Sunnah. But people differ in how they approach the Quran and Sunnah. So the differences between the mazhabs are, for example, a verse of the Quran. How do we understand that verse? If that verse has three different ways to understand it, you'll find three different opinions on that issue. A hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. Do we take it literally? Do we take it contextually? For example, the hadith on the pants being below the ankles. There are some madhabs that say having your pants below the ankles is haram. There are other madhabs that say it is not haram. Now, sometimes a person who is junior to fiqh, they would get angry and they would say, oh, these people are not following the sunnah. They are going against the hadith. But that's wrong. They're not going against the hadith. They have a different understanding of the same hadith. You will find that every madhab will look at the same hadith, but they differ in how they understand it. For example, one madhab will say, the Prophet ﷺ said your pants should not be below your ankles, therefore it cannot be below your ankles. Therefore it's haram. Another madhab will say, no, why did he say that? Now, why did he say that? He said that because in those days, you know, the way the rich and arrogant people used to dress is they used to have their robes flowing on the floor to show off that they own more fabric than everybody else. And the Prophet ﷺ is prohibiting that. He's prohibiting dressing arrogantly. He's not prohibiting it just being below your ankles. So they will have a different understanding of the hadith. And so they will have a different opinion. Look at it this way. Nobody is saying that the hadith is wrong. Nobody is saying that Rasulullah ﷺ is wrong. They differ in how they understand what he said. One person is understanding it one way, someone else is understanding it a different way. And this applies across the board, even amongst the Sahaba. That the Prophet ﷺ would say something to the Sahaba, and someone understand it in one way, someone understand it in another way. Because this is how human beings are. We do it amongst ourselves, right? It happens amongst ourselves. That if you have a school, for example, and you have a list of school rules, you have one group of parents coming and saying, no, the school says this, and another group of parents coming and saying, the school says that, and they both will be pointing to the same rule. But they both understand it in different ways. Because this is human nature. We read something and we understand it differently from each other. And the Prophet ﷺ, he showed us that that's okay. As long as it's coming from a place of sincerity, as long as it's done in a proper method, it's okay to have a different understanding of the same thing. So the second reason why there are differences of opinion amongst the ulama and amongst the Muslims is because we have different methods of understanding the Quran and Sunnah. So some people take it more literally. Some people look at the context. Some people may take certain hadiths literally and look at the context in other hadiths. And all of these fall within the framework of Sunni Islam. All of these are acceptable methodologies of fiqh. Whether it is the Hanafi, the Shafi, Maliki, all of it is acceptable. Right? So this is the second reason why there are differences. A third reason why there are differences in fiqh is because of culture. And this is one that a lot of people don't know or understand. That Islam is a universal religion that accommodates all cultures. The good of every culture is accommodated in Islam. And a lot of our fiqh is culturally dependent. A lot of our fiqh is based on the culture of the locality. This is specifically true when it comes to the fiqh of business and the fiqh of marriage. For example, the Quran tells us to treat our wives well. It doesn't go into any details. What is considered treating your wife well? That would differ from culture to culture. In some cultures, it would mean, you know, that you cook the food for her every day, for example. Another culture may mean that you give her a certain amount of money every month. Another culture may mean that you give her own home, right? Every culture is different in what's considered treating your wife well. So you will have a scholar in Pakistan saying one thing, a scholar in Saudi Arabia saying something else, a scholar in South Africa saying something else, because each of them are looking at this verse from their culture. And all of us are fine. All of this is fine as long as it falls within the framework of what is acceptable culturally. Right? And again, that's another long discussion which we did cover in the past. So this is the third reason why we have differences of opinion in fiqh, that our cultures differ. And again, this goes back to early Islam. We see this in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, when the Sahaba moved to Syria and they started dressing like the people of Syria and living in fancy houses like the people of Syria, and they began to adapt to that culture. Umar radiallahu anhu goes to visit them and he comes with his simple clothing and his simple lifestyle, and he looks at the way the Sahaba are living in Syria and he's shocked. And he asked them, "What happened to you? You all changed." And they explained to him that this is the culture of the people. This is how they expect their leaders to dress. This is how they expect their leaders to live. So they just adapted to their local culture. And he left it as that. He didn't force them to continue living according to Medinan culture. He didn't force them to go back to dressing or living the same houses they lived in Medina. They had moved to a different land and they had adapted to that land. And once they explained it to him, he left it as it was. And so Syria gained a very different culture from Medina. And even Makkah and Medina have very different cultures from each other. Even in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find that the culture of the Muhajirun was very different from the culture of the Ansar. And that was fine, because our religion allows for cultural diversity. And we see this even amongst the Imams of Fiqh. So Imam Malik, for example, Imam Malik was of the opinion that a non-mahram can sit together and eat at the same table if they are wearing hijab and they have a guardian there. So for example, if a man and his wife is meeting up with another man and his wife for a meal, they could all sit together at the same table and eat. Imam Malik was of that opinion. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was of the opinion that that's haram. Now, why was there a difference of opinion between Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad on this topic? There's nothing in the Quran and Hadith about it. It really came down to their cultures. In the culture of Medina, at the time of Imam Malik, that was a norm. That you'd invite someone over to your home for a meal and everybody would sit together. As long as proper hijab was observed, it was fine. In the culture that Imam Ahmad lived in, which was Baghdad 100 years later, every home would have a separate dining room for men and a separate dining room for women, and it would be considered rude to sit with somebody else's wife at the same table. Very different culture, so very different ruling. We see the same thing today. That you'll hear a scholar in India making a fatwa and you might be shocked by it. How can he say that? But he's living in a different culture. He's living in a different context. His fatwa is based on his people, based on where he is, what are the norms, and what are expected of people. In South Africa, our fatwa would be different. And so these are some of the main reasons why we have differences of opinion. So the next time somebody walks up to you, or somebody is dealing with problems in understanding their religion, and they ask you, why do Muslims have differences of opinion? These are three ways you can answer it. We have differences of opinion because Allah made us a nation of diversity. We have differences of opinion because there are different methodologies of fiqh. And we have differences of opinion because we have different cultures, that Allah has made us a culturally diverse ummah. And there are many other ways to answer this question, but we will settle on those for now. Subhana rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين ونستغفره ونؤمن به توكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد. So the other question you get after that is, what do we do about it? Right? Okay. So a young person is starting to practice Islam, and you have explained to him why we have difference of opinion. Now he has another confusion. Who do I follow? Who do I follow? Someone's telling me, for example, that I have to wear a kurta. Someone else saying is you don't have to wear a kurta. Someone is telling me that the Jummah khutbah must be in Arabic. Someone else saying it's okay for it to be in English. Someone's telling me that I have to do this, and someone saying no, you don't have to do that. This is haram, no, it's halal. What do I do? And this causes anxiety for young people. It causes a lot of anxiety. What do I do? There's differences of opinion. How do I handle it? So I want to mention three things that every one of us can do when it comes to dealing with differences of opinion. Number one, find a scholar that you trust and follow him. Number two, respect everybody else's opinion. Don't get involved in fights, don't get involved in arguments, don't go and tell other people to change their methods, right? Respect the other opinions that exist within Islam. And number three, focus on knowledge that benefits you. Focus on your own akhirah. focus on trying to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, for so many of us, our entire practice of the religion boils down to I'm better than you. That's what it boils down to. Instead of focusing on my own heart, my own iman, my own, you know, sins, we focus on, oh, I have a bigger beard than you. You know, I'm dressed more Islamically than you. My masjid is had more, the people have more tawakkul than your masjid. And it becomes an ego thing. It becomes a battle of egos. Stay away from that. Number one, find someone that you trust. And yes, in every community, there are many different ulama with many different opinions. You find someone that you trust, you follow that person while respecting everybody else. Right? So for example, one alim saying that Jummah, the khutbah must be in Arabic. Someone else is saying, no, it's okay for it to be in English. Whichever opinion you follow, go to the masjid that follows that opinion. If you believe it has to be in Arabic, go to a masjid where it's in Arabic. If you believe it can be in English and you want it in English, go to a masjid where it's in English. At the same time, completely respect the others. You know, you don't have to go to the other masjid saying, why are you having it in Arabic? You must have it in English. Why are you so backwards? Or don't do any of that. Let it be. It's a matter of fiqh. There are two opinions. Some masjids follow one, other masjids follow the other. Let it be. Don't make it an issue. And this is the thing that many of us find hard to do. We make everything an issue. You know, when somebody is different from us, we feel threatened, we feel challenged, we feel like, you know, either they're wrong or I'm wrong. We have to start thinking in terms of Allah's mercy. When it comes to fiqh, Allah's mercy encompasses all of these views. What does that mean? Just say, for example, there's a fiqh issue. Someone is saying that something is haram, someone else is saying it's halal. Let's go with a very simple example that we all fight about every week. Prawns, right? We have prawns. Someone saying prawns are haram, someone saying prawns are halal. The person who believes that prawns is haram and he follows that and he never eats it in his life, Allah will reward him for that. The person who believes that it's halal and he follows that and he eats it, Allah will, you know, reward him for that as well. On the day of judgment, if it's discovered that perhaps the prawns is haram is the correct opinion, does that mean the bulk of the ummah who ate prawns are going to Jahannam? No, because they didn't know. They didn't know, they followed what they thought was the correct opinion. Allah holds you accountable for following what you think is the correct opinion. Because when it comes to fiqh, this is something a lot of people take a very long time to realize. When it comes to fiqh, very few things are certain. Most of our opinions are a matter of, you know, I could be wrong. Most fiqh opinions are a matter of I could be wrong. The things that are certain, you're not going to find differences of opinion about them. For example, there are five salah. Is there any difference of opinion about that? No. Fasting the month of Ramadan. Is there any difference of opinion about fasting being compulsory in the month of Ramadan? No. Right? The amount of rak'ah in our salah. There's no difference of opinion on the fundamentals. The differences of opinion are on secondary issues. So if one person is putting their hands on their chest in salah, and someone else is putting it below their navel, and someone else has it by their side, Allah will accept all of them. So why do we make it issue? Why do we make it something to fight with people? So we need to learn to live and let live when it comes to these fiqh issues. Yes, it's fine to have discussions, you know, sit with your friends, they following one opinion, you following the other, you want to know why, you want to understand the other person, that's fine. But when it becomes a fight, when you break family ties, when you stop making salams to someone, when you start thinking this person is deviant, all over a secondary matter of fiqh, then we have to take a step back and think, are we approaching things the right way? So learn to live and let live when it comes to the differences of opinion. And my final bit of advice when it comes to differences of opinion is, don't obsess over them, focus on knowledge that benefits you. Focus on knowledge that benefits you. You know, we are like so excited about controversial debates. We want to see two alims fighting over, you know, whether masks are necessary or not, or whether social distancing is acceptable or not. And some of us get a kick out of seeing people fight over these things. And we spend so much time with these arguments, especially nowadays, because you know, in the past, the argument may be in a newspaper article. Now the arguments are online. So someone posts a video, someone else posts a Facebook post, somebody else sends a WhatsApp message, then there's 2,000 comments, and we sit and read every single comment. What have we benefited? Nothing. Nothing. There's no benefit to that. Instead, okay, you're following an opinion, someone else is following another opinion. Avoid the drama, focus on knowledge that benefits you. Read Quran, learn some hadith, learn some akhlaq. Study Islamic history. Focus on your own purification of the soul. Don't get involved in the drama. Don't get involved in the debates. That is a distraction from shaitan. It is a distraction from shaitan that fuels our ego, it splits the ummah, it creates hatred between brothers, and it causes unnecessary conflict, and it wastes time. It wastes a lot of time. Especially nowadays with social media, when you go on Muslim social media, it's just debates and debates and debates over secondary issues, where everybody thinks that they are right and everybody else is wrong. In the meanwhile, it's an issue where Allah will accept all of the positions. So this is how we deal with our differences of opinion. You follow a scholar who you trust, you respect the other positions, and you focus your time on things that benefit you, not on arguing over few matters. If we do this, and inshallah, we'll be on the straight path, we'll be united, and these differences will become secondary, they will fall to the side, they will not bother us in any way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a united ummah. May He protect us from our own egos, may He protect us from fighting with each other over secondary matters. May He unite our community upon the straight path and allow us to become mature and tolerant in dealing with our differences of opinion. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِنْ نَسِينَا وَأَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا وَتَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا وَاعْفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.